The book of Acts, chapter 2, with the word of wisdom from our Father in Jesus' name, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 50 days after Passover and 10 days after Christ's ascension, 10 days being written of in Revelation chapter 2 concerning those that are delivered up to death, that is to say Satan, death is one of Satan's names, at which time the Holy Spirit will speak through them. And here we'll have a perfect example of that. The Pentecostal tongue being understood by whoever hears it. You don't need an interpreter, and only God can do that. Man can't fake that. And it will happen whenever Satan appears as the false Christ and God's elect are delivered up, as you can also read of in Mark chapter 13. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, a ruach, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, as was prophesied all the way back in the days of John the Baptist, when he said, "One comes after me that will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit." Here is that event. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, with other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven, those that followed the commandments set forth by Moses in the law. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And as you remember from the book of Genesis in chapter 11, God confounded the languages of the peoples of the land because of the Tower of Babel. And here you have the reversal of that and the understanding of the Word of God that unites whosoever will into that many-membered body, the body of Christ. And all are one in Christ Jesus, regardless of your ethnic background or anything else, whosoever will. If you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believed in Him, you'd study the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Well, then you're going to go through that tribulation of Satan with the gospel armor on and in place and that seal of God in your forehead, as Paul wrote of in Ephesians chapter 6, ready to stand against Satan. And death is one of his names. That's what it means to be delivered up to death. And at that time, the Holy Spirit will speak through God's elect, those with the seal of God in their forehead that weren't deceived when Satan appeared as the false Christ, speaking in the futurist sense. It's yet future, of course. And they all were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" They perfectly understood what was said. So that's the difference between the true Pentecostal tongue and the fake Pentecostal tongue, which is a bunch of gibberish. Maybe you've heard it before, but that's not what this is. For every positive, there's a negative, and Satan has a counterfeit of the Pentecostal tongue. It's not even close. It's a bunch of gibberish that nobody understands. And the real McCoy is understood by whoever hears it. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. And these places formed a circle around Judea, letting you know in the future a sense that we're talking globally. In the ultimate spiritual fulfillment of this, it will be people gathered from all around the world, because they're going to think that Jesus has returned for one thing, and they'll be gathered to Jerusalem, and that's where the elect will be delivered up to, and they'll hear this Pentecostal tongue, God speaking through the elect, and many will come out of the confusion. They'll come out of the Babylon of the end times. And remember, it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel and that first one world system of this world age. The original one world system was in the first world age. But the first one, as far as this second flesh age is concerned, you saw that happen with the Tower of Babel, whenever the languages were confounded and confused to prevent them from building this Tower of Babel. And now you see the reversal of that, to bring about the word of God and to bring those that were deceived at the sixth trumpet by Satan, the king of Babylon of the end times, to bring them out of that confusion. And whenever they snap out of it, they can take part in that first resurrection. And I believe many will, especially those that deliver up their loved ones. As it's written in Mark 13, brother shall betray the brother to death. Why? Because they'll think that Jesus has returned. They'll think that Satan is Jesus and that they're saving you by delivering you up to death. That is to say, Satan. But then when they hear God speak through your mouth, and you're not to premeditate what you will say, for it's not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit, then they'll come out of the confusion, hopefully, and I think many will. Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and all the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes. And as you can see from the map, it makes a circle, letting you know, just as the seven letters to the seven churches were in a circle as well, letting you know that in the future sense, ultimately, we're talking global. It will be a one-world global government, a political system at first, but then it receives a deadly wound, and then Satan appears as the false Christ, heals the deadly wound, as it's written in Revelation 13, and then it goes from being a political one-world system to a religious one-world system, and at that time, God's elect are delivered up, at which time the Holy Spirit will speak through them. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our languages, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine, mocking what they don't understand, as man always does. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. You think we're all drunk here? No, that's not what's going on. That doesn't make sense anyway. Because what's being said is understood by whoever hears it. They're amazed. They don't know what to think. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, in the last days, so this is an example of that, a perfect example of that, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, that means to teach, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But it's not them teaching, it's God teaching through them. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, both male and female here, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. This sets up the time frame. The sixth seal is when Satan appears as the false Christ. The sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial. And the day of the Lord is 2.5 months later, by my calculations. Do your own math study to show yourself approved. But the way I see it, a half hour means half of the hour of temptation, which has been shortened from 7 years to 5 months. So 2.5 months into it, Satan appears and heals that deadly wound, the deadly wound transpiring just before that, because the one-world political system doesn't emerge until the beginning of the hour of temptation. That's the woe of the fifth trumpet, whenever Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven unto the earth. Then when Satan appears, God's elect are delivered up. And at the end of that 5 months, the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, the day of the Lord being the 1,000 years. As Peter wrote in his epistle, 1,000 years is as 1 day with the Lord, and 1 day is as 1,000 years, as he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the true Lord, the true Christ, that is to say, shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the true Christ, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He came to defeat him that had the power of death, that is to say the devil, as we know from Hebrews 2:14. So as you can see, death is one of Satan's names, and Christ defeated death, paying the price for one and all time, so that whosoever believes upon him should not perish in the lake of fire, which is the second death, but have everlasting life, taking part in either the first resurrection or the resurrection into eternal life after the 1,000 years are finished, and go into the third world age, that is to say the eternity, and have everlasting life. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in Hades that is to say, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And what was Christ doing during those 3 days and three nights that his body was in the tomb? He was preaching to those that were in prison, giving them the opportunity to accept his bloodshed on the cross and go into paradise, the good side of the gulf, that is to say. The bad side, also known as Hades, is where you go if you believe not upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prison where you await judgment. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And hell, really, as people know hell to be, is the lake of fire at the end of the 1,000 years. So that's not even in existence yet. That's at the end of the 1,000 years. The other side of the gulf does exist, and you can read of it in Luke chapter 16. That's where you go if you don't make it, and they burn with shame there. Being able to see what they could have had, they can see the good side of the gulf, known as Abraham's bosom, but they can't do anything about it. It's too late to repent. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And Christ went to preach to those souls in prison to give them that opportunity to believe upon him, God always being fair, always has been, always will be. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And how did they crucify him? By not demanding he be released. They said, release Barabbas unto us and crucify him. And it was the Kenites egging them on, and the Kenites were behind the crucifixion, but they didn't do anything to stop it. So that's what he means by that, the blood being on their head, but they could accept the sacrifice and repent and be in good standing with the Father. It could be erased at that point. That's what Peter's giving them the opportunity to do here, and that is the point of the Pentecostal tongue, to document that it was the Word of God. And so it will be during that hour of temptation when the Holy Spirit speaks through God's elect. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And just as the Holy Spirit descended and stayed upon Christ whenever he was baptized, so it is with the Christian. Does it stay that way? Well, that's up to the individual. If they maintain their salvation, get into their Father's Word, study it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby they don't go off the straight and narrow path and are deceived by Satan at the sixth trumpet, then they can lose their salvation. They can cease to be Christians, because that's what happens when a Christian worships the devil. They're no longer a Christian, they're a Satan worshiper, and they no longer will have the Holy Spirit within them, but Satan's evil spirit. That's one of the reasons he's called the Desolator, the one that makes desolate. So there you go, he makes them desolate of God's spirit and replaces it with his unholy spirit. And that's what the mark of the beast is, really, because you can't receive the seal of God in your forehead without the Holy Spirit teaching you the truth of God's word. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And remember, 3,000 souls, 3,000 men rather, were killed whenever the Israelites worshiped the golden calf, which was a type of the Antichrist. Moses being a type of Christ, he went up the mountain, that's Christ ascending to the Father, and then when he came back down, he found them worshiping a golden calf. And that's a type of Christ returning to find his virgin bride has become a whore worshiping Satan. So the golden calf was a type of Antichrist. And 3,000 died that day. If you go read the story, you'll see. So this is a reversal of that. And we already read the reversal of the confusion of the Tower of Babel. And here we have the reversal, if you will, of what happened that day whenever they worship that golden calf. So in the futurist sense, if they worship the devil, thinking that it's Jesus in their ignorance, and then snap out of it because of what God says through the elect, well, then it can be erased because they didn't know. It's only the unforgivable sin to know God's overall plan of salvation and then to not allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. So in their ignorance, they cannot commit that unforgivable sin. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They stayed in the word and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them all to men as every man had need, following in the example that Christ set forth. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And there you have it, the book of Acts, chapter 2.